It's good to be at your house, dude. You don't even have a mic. There you
Hi.
Are. It's nice to be at your house. We're here in your basement with Dobby. And you have a dog. Anyway.
The dog lives in our house.
Let's see. I had a really great time driving over here. Mainly because I'm driving a really cool car this week.
Dude, chill, man. Wait. Wait. Why are you doing this? You haven't let it go either. You've just been bringing it on home.
Backstory. Our oldest, Anna, who's 20 and a sophomore at Tennessee Technological University, wings up, had some car problems. So she was like, all right, I'm coming home for... She came home so we could all go watch the Broadway musical Hadestown together in Knoxville, which we did. It was awesome. But she left her car here so I could get somebody to work on it because it has some problems.
Hmm.
So called our buddy Joseph Laurent, who is just a car guy and works at a car place and sells cars and whatnot. So he's like, all right, well, let's take your car into the shop and everything. And he's like, while Anna's car gets worked on, I'm going to just get you a loaner. And I was like, dude, that would be great. It would be great for me to have a loaner to drive around. And then he, no kidding, on the phone, he goes, oh, I know what I'm going to do. And I was like, what? And he was like, I'm going to loan you Thomas's old truck. And so when Thomas got his Subaru, he sold his truck to Joseph Laurent. And then, and this is a truck that has well over 300,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And Toyota pickup. And Joseph immediately like lifted it, put brand new wheels on it, fixed the door handle that was broken, all these things. He put they got a Rhino liner sprayed into the bed of the truck. Like, it's awesome. And he was like, yeah, you're going to roll up to your staff meeting on Monday morning in this bad boy.
You know, you could loan a car at somebody. We have found that out.
When Thomas rolled up to staff meeting on Monday morning and his old dear precious truck was sitting out there, I don't know if I've ever seen you more sad.
Well, I drove that truck from, let's see, basically 2010 through 2023.
I mean, what's another thing about that is like, your sister Abby was so excited that you, when you started driving, were going to have to drive the Blue Turdy, which is, for those of you who don't know, the Blue Turd was the car that Meredith and Abby had to learn how to drive on and had to drive first before they got their own cars. And then like, I remember Abby saying to me, it's just not fair that the baby of the house doesn't even have to drive the Blue Turd. He just gets to go straight to the really awesome truck.
Yeah, I was so spoiled. So spoiled. I was just so spoiled. Yeah, no, how are you gonna run a lawn care business if you can't haul a mower around?
That's a really good question.
Great question.
The Blue Turdy can't haul a lawnmower around.
No. I think if I could go back in time, I would have just been like, sure, I'll drive this, I don't care. But who cares?
But at the time, you were really not wanting to drive the Turd.
Yeah, you know what Abby did not include in any of that is that when her and Meredith went to college, they both got cars. I didn't get a car. I drove that truck, and I'm happy with it. But like, she didn't say, but you know, it's all good because I got a new car when I went to college. A new used car.
She never included that.
Nah, of course not.
Do you think Abby listens to this podcast?
No.
No chance.
No chance.
Zero.
Nobody in either of our families listens to this. Maybe Nora.
But not likely.
No, yeah.
Not likely.
Well, I mean, my wife listens to it, but I mean...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, Maddie loves our podcast, which I'm really thankful for.
I don't think my wife listens to it.
I mean, like, people who I grew up with and lived with.
Yeah. Your culture of origin, it's a big no. You think Aunt Beth listens to this podcast?
No. No.
What about Nina?
No. No, Nina. Nina Reed used to, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really cool driving your truck, man. It's a great truck.
I'm glad you're having a good time.
It's really
good for you, man.
It drives really well. Yeah. Like, it's smooth. You would never know that it has well over 300,000 miles. It feels like a new truck.
Keep telling me about it. Yeah, keep telling
me. I mean, everything about it is just so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm thanking you other than it must be out of sarcasm. If it ain't sincere.
I think one of the I think one of the best episodes of this podcast ever was recorded in that truck.
Yeah, 100%.
But we recorded quite a few episodes in there. There was the one where you saved the turtle.
Yeah, there was the one where we were driving down 62 back there in Marlow, and all those butterflies are flying around. I think that's where you finally realized a swallowtail butterfly is not a monarch.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You got to catch one every once in a while, Lee. No, I'm glad you said Maddie's watching How I Met Your Mother for the first time, which means I'm watching it for the 12th time. Mm. And I haven't watched it in probably 5 years. Yeah. And I just am loving it. And last night we got to arguably a top 5 episode.
Yeah.
And the moment it started, I was like, oh my goodness. And she was like, so it's all downhill from here. And I was like, no, the show's fantastic. But it doesn't really advance the plot.
Yeah.
But it's just it's the best burger in New York.
The best burger. And Regis Philbin.
There is one scene in that episode. Well, there's two scenes in that episode that are just
great television.
Yeah, and one of them is when they go to Barney's gym and Regis is working out and he's just pumping iron. And I think what happened when they filmed that, I have no evidence for this, but I think they gave Regis lines, or they just gave him, a plot and they said, you fill this out. Because the characters respond in these ways. Like, Barney Marshall and Ted respond in ways where I'm like, I've never seen you do this in any other episode.
Ah.
You're just so caught off guard by his actions.
Nice.
There's a moment where Regis looks at Marshall and calls him Lurch. And then he turns to Ted and says, what about you, Satchel Mouth? And it's like an insult from the 20s. You know, you've never heard it. And then there's the best monologue, which is when Marshall describes the burger.
Just that playful little
pickle. Such a great line.
It's great. I mean, it's worth a YouTube look up. Just the Marshall Erickson.
Marshall monologue, yeah.
Yeah, Marshall monologue, the perfect burger, the best burger in New York.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ancient and New. We're glad you're here with us. We ostensibly have some scriptures to share. Is that true? What you got for us?
What if we just don't feel like it today?
Are you ready for March Madness?
Yeah, but also I'm ready to get let down. It's
you ready to get hurt again?
Of course. Look, man, as much as I want to say, like, Tennessee, they really, you know, on paper they really do have a chance.
Rick Barnes not great in March.
No, and his, you know, there's such a slim chance your team wins it.
Dude, I've been so impacted by the Gold Standard College Basketball podcast that I found myself last night just watching an ACC tournament game with two teams I don't even care about.
Yeah, if you don't listen to the Gold Standard, one, you're behind.
Yeah, come on. These guys...
Two, you're just missing out on a good
time. Hey, they've upped their audio game.
Sounds great.
Really good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's so many factors that go into... You have to get a good draw. You can't have an off night. Everything has to go perfect. And it's just, you know, Tennessee was hot down the stretch. And, you know, the problem is Kentucky's hotter right now. There's teams out there I'm like, Tennessee's hot. A lot of teams are hot. We'll see what happens. Last year they got a perfect draw. If you're playing FAU in the Sweet 16, you got a perfect draw. And you did. They
just didn't make it.
But they didn't have an offense. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Peter 1.
Let's do this, T. I'm gonna move my.
I'm a little excited about this. I read this morning, and
dude, I love Peter's letters, especially when you consider who that guy was.
Well, hold on.
Okay,
man.
Hey, can I drive your truck and take your point?
Go ahead, this is the Lee Younger Show, hosted by Lee Younger.
Stop it. Would you stop?
With musical guest Lee Younger.
Come on.
Produced by Lee Younger.
Come on.
Okay, sorry. We're starting verse 5. I'm just going to read it and talk about it.
Yeah, that's what this show is.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just going to read and talk about it.
That's the byline of this show. I'm just going to read it and talk about it.
Now, for this very reason also, apply in all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is cool. For the one who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins.
What version are you reading?
NASB. Okay. Sorry. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choice of you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Okay, so I'm going to stop here for a second, then I'm going to keep going. But there's this moment where, you know, he's listening to these things, which I think are, you know, they're all things to someone who knows the Lord. This is not a, like, and I think there's a thing to point out just as a follower of Jesus. Like, you know, if you read the Gospel of John, you get to John 20. John ends it by saying, look, I wrote this so that you can believe and in that have eternal life. Period. It's not
right
that you can believe, be better, everything's good and awesome, therefore you're going to go to heaven. That we got to distinguish that early. That doesn't mean that within our faith there aren't some things that it's like, you know, as someone who's growing and walking and being sanctified, these are areas that I enjoy growing in. You know what I mean? Like, this is, we're talking about two different things in saying that. So he has this list here, which I think is super interesting. And then Peter says this thing, which people who lack these qualities are blind or short-sighted and have forgotten their purification from their sins. He's kind of saying, like, hey, if you're not growing in these ways, take a moment and think, like, when was the last time you thought about what Jesus did for you, specifically you?
Yeah.
Have you lost sight of that already? Have you lost sight of where you've come from and what the Lord did for you? Which I just think is a really cool thing to think about in Easter. This is a time where there's a lot of emphasis on thinking about the cross, and it's an easy time to do that. But is this something that we do on a regular basis, thinking about what Jesus did on the cross for you? So I think that's interesting. And my, you know, I read that. I'm like, that's cool. That's a good thought. If you go a little bit further, a really cool thing happens. You ready? This is verse 16.
Ready.
Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such a declaration as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this declaration made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, he's referring to the Transfiguration.
Luke chapter 9, yeah.
So, there you go. Right. So this is something that I think is really fascinating. That is not Peter's best moment. It is actually a point where a lot of people would look at and be like, dude.
He shoved his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, you were a fool. Yeah. You know, like, so this is a place where Peter has...
It was
this,
a whiff.
Yeah. Peter has this really, you know, this list of things that are like, these are cool things to strive for. Let's grow in those. He then says, if you're not, you may want to think about where you've come from. And if you've thought about your salvation recently and what the Lord did for you, which is a really cool thought. And then he doesn't go on to say, like, look how awesome I am. He goes on to talk about how awesome the Lord is and mentions a moment where he was utterly weak and did not do a good job. And that's, you know, kind of to bring back around what you talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's cool to think about Peter in the Gospels and who he is when he's writing these things.
Yeah.
And I sense a gigantic sense of humility in him. It may just be one of those things where he just kind of like, oh, man, I've got to write about that moment. I've just got to, you know, I can't not, because it's an amazing thing happened in my presence, but it's also a moment where I'm just, you know, between me and the other boys who were there, I'm really never going to live it down because I was kind of a fool. And the whole thing ended when I said what I said. But I just thought it was this moment of like, hey, look, you want to grow? Don't, you know, like, don't look much further than thinking about where you've come from and really paying attention to the fact that the Lord did a really cool thing in you and see what happens. Really dig into that. Think about where you've come from and what he did for you and what that means for you. You're not held down by your sin anymore. Yeah. You're not someone who has to live in that or wallow in that. You get to often think about, holy cow, I am safe from that. That is fantastic. And then Peter lays out, like, it's not necessarily this big whopper sin that Peter did. There's definitely other ones that he could have included. But it's a moment of total humility to mention this moment where he was, yeah, he was just really nearsighted and thoughtless in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he's like, I'll never forget it. You're making me think about, the way that I'm thinking about this is I'm thinking about my relationship with Potts, right? Like with our buddy Potsy, like, there are so many things that are so fun about my friendship with Potts. Mm-hmm. And there's so many memories and there's so many cool laughs that we've had and so many great meals that we've shared and, you know, coffees and the rest of it and adventures and, you know, like, you know, unforgettable moments where we were holding the hands of family members who were losing a loved one. Mm-hmm. And we were in the room with them and all these kinds of things. Right. But like, when I first think about him, like the things that I think about, like the things that push themselves to the front of my mind are like times he bailed me out. Because that's just a part of who he is. And if you're, if you are fortunate, blessed enough to be friends with Potts, one of your big experiences is going to be that he is going to buy a meal for you, or he is going to bail you out of trouble, or he is going to pick you up when nobody else would. Last night, our buddy Eric, from an elders meeting, completely forgot that his wife dropped him off and drove back to Knoxville. So then when Brad, who also lives in Knoxville, just left, Eric didn't even think about it. He was just kind of,
I watched that moment happen. I heard Eric say, hey, Brad, my bride's not here yet. And I don't think Brad heard him. And it was, Brad just walked out the door. And I was just like, what? What just happened?
And of course, Potts took him home, which meant Potts drove to Knoxville and then he drove back to Oak Ridge. And that's just who Potts is. It's his heart. His heart is, I will just bail you out. Mm-hmm. As many times as you need to be bailed out, I will bail you out. All that to say, like, there are so many things that could potentially come to mind when I think about my friendship with Potts. The things that rise to the surface immediately are times when I was a goob or when I wasn't enough, and he literally bailed me out. Mm. And I feel like there's a thing in Peter that he's saying right here, which is like, hey, don't forget that the basis of your friendship with Jesus is he bailed you out.
Yeah.
He did something for you that you cannot and never could do for yourself. Right. Don't forget that you were bailed out.
Yeah, it's really cool. For a long time, Potsy was my, for some reason I ever end up in jail, he's going to be my first call. Just because his phone number is so easy to...
You're such a rule of thumb. The idea of you winding up in jail is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of.
I don't agree with that.
Unless you were to steal your own truck back. Thomas's face.
But his phone number is so easy to memorize.
Yeah.
It's the easiest one of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The last four digits are one number.
Over and over again.
Yeah. It's like, oh gosh. If I'm ever in a pinch. But the problem is there's no way he's answering a phone call from an unknown number. You just have no shot.
No. You'll have to leave him a voicemail with your one phone call.
Yeah.
And then he'll show up in 25 minutes.
But then he'll have deleted the voicemail so quickly that
But that's how long it'll take him to get from his house to the Anderson County Jail.
Yeah.
Is 25 minutes. You're not going to jail, Thomas. You're too much of a rule follower. You're too much of a pleaser. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
You're not a bad boy, T.
What if I am?
What if you are? No, I've known you for so many years. Isaiah chapter 25. Can we go there?
Sure.
Let's do this.
I don't care.
Oh.
No, we can't. I'm a bad person.
Oh, you're trying to be a bad boy right now?
Yeah, no, we can't go there. Song of Solomon only.
I don't care what scripture you want to read.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I've been reading the prophecy of Isaiah lately, and it's just, there are these just dense chapters in a row of these horrendous prophecies against these people that have been awful. And then there will be just these pockets and these moments of beauty that just burst through and shine so brightly, and they're so cool. Chapter 25 is just a song of praise to the Lord. Like it starts out, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. It sounds like a psalm. Sounds like we're in the Psalms right now. It goes down to verse 4. You've been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But then go down to verse 6. This is so cool. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. Okay, before we read any farther, I want to just ask you, as a person who's been in outreach ministry for a long time, with, in particular, high school kids, could you identify something that is like, oh, this is a shroud that just covers high school kids, or the sheet that covers their lives and just like blocks them from life, from real life? Like, what are some things that just come to mind?
Comparison.
Comparison. It's over all of them, and they can't see its effects, but it's destroying them.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Man, just the overwhelming feeling that you can't ever do enough or be enough.
Yes.
Grades, that's sports, parents who are not encouraging in any way.
Looks.
Yeah.
Body weight.
Yep.
Hair.
Yep.
Clothes. Yeah, stuff.
Yep.
Yes. And it's like they live under a tent and they don't even know that the sun is out there.
Yeah.
And there are things like that are true for everybody, not just high school kids. I put you on the spot and used that as an example, but there,
sure.
But think about for a second, the idea that there is like, there's a real life out there, but I'm blocked from it by some sheet or shroud that just keeps me from experiencing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to back up. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove this people's disgrace from all the earth. My goodness.
That's awesome.
What an incredible promise.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What a ludicrous prophecy. The thing that holds you back from real life, I'm going to tear it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the heartbreak and pain that you have felt that's caused you to weep, I'm going to wipe away all those tears. And then everything that's ever made you feel ashamed, everything that's ever made you feel embarrassed, I'm going to erase it from the history books forever. Mm. Disgrace gone, tears gone, everything holding you back from real life, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Man, that's why we believe this. Yeah, that's why we want to give our hearts to this. This is like, dude, it's the thing that we can't achieve for ourselves.
Mm.
I can't self-help myself to a place of like, I have no more disgrace, no more tears, and I'm experiencing full life.
Yeah.
With no boundary.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. That's such a cool thought. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I would guess. I mean, like, people come up with all kinds of reasons not to believe this, or, but if it's ever any, you know, I'm always shocked when it's something that just makes zero sense compared to the actual character of God. When you, not character as in like person in a book, but what makes him up? This is his heart, right? Which is awesome. When people are doing other things because it seems kinder or more lovey and gushy, I'm like, what do you mean? This is what this is. This whole thing is sweet and kind and gushy and lovey, and I'm so grateful for that. The problem is Christians who don't know that. That's the worst part, actually. Yeah. When Christians get in their own way and they try to describe this, and it's just for country and for fellow and for money and capital gain and personal growth, and you know it's like, no, this whole thing is about gushy mushy love that God has for us. Okay, let's just start there and see what happens.
Yeah, it's like, if I was to sum that whole paragraph up in one phrase, it would be that the Lord is saying, I'm going to flat out hook you up. That's what I'm going to do. That's my program in this world, is I want to hook you up. I want to hook you up with real life. I want to hook you up with a heart that's at peace. And I want to hook you up with joy.
Yeah.
That's the direction we're going in. Yeah. That's what I'm aiming at, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's so cool. This Jude right now is like obsessed with Moana, which is,
as he should be.
Oh, it's awesome. And like, when he wants to go back to Blippi right now, I'm like, you've seen Moana. Why would you want to go back to Blippi?
I don't even know what Blippi is, so you might have to break that down.
Well, Blippi's this like, Blippi's great. Great for kids. He just is like this YouTube character who goes and does all these kids things. He'll go to like indoor play centers that you don't know exist, and he'll play and talk you through it. Or he'll, you know, drive an excavator, or, you know, he makes up these songs that are really catchy. But it's just one of these things where it's like, for a 2-year-old, it's like, this is awesome. For the 30-year-old dad who's watching it, you're like, one, how did I not think of this? Two, he makes like $10 million a month on this character. Yeah, it's absurd. And you're just like beating your head against the wall, because I'm like, it's just ridiculous. But then three, you're like, this is just so annoying. It's so annoying. But if Moana's on, I'm great. Yeah. I'll watch it with you. Yeah. We'll laugh a lot. And then when we get in the car, we can listen to the music. And I'm like, dude, why would you ever want to go back to that? This other thing I have for you is awesome. But sometimes he's still just like, oh, I'll watch Blippi. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, I've got a much cooler thing for you.
Yeah,
it's way better. The Rotten Tomatoes score is almost perfect.
Right.
You know, like, but you want to go to this.
Especially when Tomatoa is on there.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There's a moment in that where he mentions eating his grandma. And it's the funny, like, he's like, your granny lied. And he's like, I ate my granny. You're like, what? It's hilarious.
Man, but Jemaine Clement is so
fantastic.
Funny,
I don't know if my point's trying to land. It's just like, you know, my kids too. His brain doesn't work very well yet.
So here's my version of what you're talking about right now, which is that Nora is in New York right now with some of the people from the theater troupe at Oak Ridge High School. And every day I'm like, tell me everything you're eating. Cause New York is the greatest food
don't
city.
Tell me she went to Sbarro.
Do what?
Don't tell me she went to Sbarro.
No, but like, it's the greatest food city.
Joe's Crab Shack. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can get food from any culture in the world at any hour of the day in any of the five boroughs. Like, it's just ludicrous. And I was so excited for her to get to experience amazing food. And like 2 days into the trip, she was like, I haven't had anything interesting to eat yet because these plebes just want chicken fingers. And we've just gone to like the most vanilla restaurants to get chicken fingers.
30-year-old them is going to kick themselves in the face.
What
was I doing?
What was I doing? I was in Manhattan. Why wasn't I getting like falafel and shawarma and ramen and like sushi and like what was I thinking, you know? Why wasn't I getting like kebabs and like there's so much.
You're really on that Mediterranean vibe right there. That was awesome. You went hard for it. Yeah.
But like and that's the thing is like Nora's like, "Man, I want to adventure." And so that's the thing is I feel like the Lord is like, I'm going to create for you a version of life you can't even imagine. A version of life where you don't cry because you're afraid or sad or ashamed. Dude, that's come cool. on, man.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. And there's like, you can't even sense it, but there's just like this, there's like this sheet or this tarp over your head that blocks you from the sun.
Yeah.
And you don't even know it because you just haven't even experienced the sun yet. Mm. But I'm going to make sure you get all of it.
It's awesome.
And just life-giving sweetness. Mm.
It's really cool.
Hook me up, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hook me up. So good. Well, we are entering tournament season. SEC tournament is when?
Today. I believe so.
Tennessee play today?
No, they won't play till Friday.
Okay.
If you're a top four seed in the SEC tournament, you go straight to the quarterfinals.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go Big Orange.
But if you're one of the lower seeds, it's like, you know,
such
let's
as
say Arkansas
okay.
goes on a heater.
Yeah.
They have to win today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday to win the tournament. They got to play five games straight, which means like it's one of these things where like
it can
happen. If you win your conference tournament, you get an automatic NCAA tournament bid, regardless of your record.
Regardless. Okay.
But this is set up to benefit those who are good.
Yeah.
So like worst case scenario, Tennessee plays three games in a row.
Like
worst case scenario for a team like Arkansas, you play five games in a row and then you're right into the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is exciting, man.
This is why it's madness, man.
This is so fun. I can't, like, I had a moment last night, and this is all because of the Gold Standard College Basketball Podcast, where I was just like a sicko watching some game that didn't even matter to me and teams I care nothing about and don't know any of the players on.
Yeah.
And like the shot clock goes off and this guy gets a ludicrous like 40-foot three off of his hand in time. A buzzer goes, he sinks it. It's just net. And the whole gym went crazy. And I just like threw my arms up into the air. I was like, this is amazing.
Welcome. I would love to know, you know, we're crossing over right now. This is why we should do a joint episode with the boys. But
wow,
that's never been thought of. A Bible study basketball podcast. Hey, he invented basketball.
He did invent basketball.
He did.
He put into the heart and
mind. It's holy. It makes us happy.
Oh, man.
I would love to know right now who's going to win the whole thing.
Tennessee.
Hey, I'm going to say it too.
I think Tennessee's the runaway favorite. If JJJ and ZZ are lighting it up, we know what DK can do.
Yeah, no, you need Josiah to give you 10 a night. You need Santi to give you 10 a night.
I need Jonas to lock it down.
You need Jonas to have a double-double. Yeah. And ZZ, you know, Zakai just needs to give you 12 and 7 assists. I mean, I'm saying just like it's easy. It's not, but.
Let's do this.
I'm just saying, man, my whole life I have always picked against the Vols in hopes that somehow that would make it happen. And that's not how the world works.
We're inching towards Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in my heart right now is my devotion to the Vols is going up as we get into March Madness. And I can even see myself being less upset with Nan, who's in heaven with Jesus now. But one night on Good Friday, Tom is in the middle of telling us about Jesus on the cross. And Nan's cell phone, which was not silenced, just goes off.
Not only was it not silenced, it was to the max volume. But it was also like it was enhanced for an elderly person. So it was
playing rock.
It was extremely
she had a Bluetooth speaker attached to it.
I've never heard. It was amazing. Yeah, you know what did it for me was on last Saturday, Tennessee lost to Kentucky. You texted our group and said, my heart rate is so high right now. And I thought, he's in.
It was unbelievable. I could feel my heart beating out of my chest.
I can't hold.
Because they were down 14 three times in the second half. Yeah. And they had a 9-0 run, a 9-0 run, a 7-0 run. And I was like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We didn't do it.
My kid, Jude, right now, if he sees a sport on, he says, go Vols. And I'm like, that's my boy.
Wow.
But what I don't, I walk this fine line of like, I don't want you to see me. You know, it's like when you're watching your sport, your heart rate sits at like 90.
Good luck.
You're just like,
whatever you're about to say, good luck.
Yeah, no. But you know what I mean? Like, your heart rate's at this, it's at a rate where your watch will tell you, hey, you're stressed right now. It's not like,
you okay?
It's not exercise where you're at 120. It's just like, and we're going super long, but it's fine. Yeah. We run the show. And we can do we run basketball.
We're also late for our Greek class.
Tom's late.
I know.
We're on time. But yeah, no, at this point in life, I don't want Jude to see me. I don't want him to be one of these kids who spirals when we lose.
Sure.
Like I did, frankly.
Like Jack.
Like if I came to church on Sunday up through high school after Tennessee lost a football game, it was up until like 2009.
Yeah.
My day was ruined on Sunday. It's like, you know what? This can't be healthy.
You've grown.
I've grown. I don't want him to have to grow through
that. He's pulling the shroud.
I want him. Yeah, yeah. I want you just to be able to be a normal human.
All right, guys. We love you. Thanks for listening. Go Vols.
Bye.
I'm Lee.
Thomas.
Ancient New. You're seeking sacrifice. Like everything's alright. You are looking for a lie where I pretend that there are no tears in my eyes. So I will cast my cares on.
Discover once again your love is real.